This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Election Day edition, not only is the White House up for grabs in this election, but so is the U.S. Senate. How important are the down-ballot races in shaping America's future? Texas Senator Ted Cruz joins me in just a moment. And as the election returns begin to come in later this evening, how are those ballots processed and reported? Former Ohio Secretary of State Ken Blackwell will be here for that discussion, as well as giving us an update on the key battleground state of Ohio. And we may also, I emphasize may, hear from former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, who has been on the FRC Action Values bus in North Carolina. We're going to try to catch up with her. She's been all over the place. And I'm going to want to hear from you. If you voted, what were your observations at your polling place today as you voted? I voted early this morning, and in fact, in line when the doors opened, and boy, was it a long line. I've never, and how many years have I voted in that polling place? Probably close to 20 years, and have never seen a line that long. It's good. We want people to turn out and vote. The website, TonyPerkins.com. And by the way, folks, if you have not yet voted, I hope that you're on your way. There's still time everywhere. Polls don't close till later this evening, so I do hope that you are making your way to the polling place if you've not yet voted. And if you need it, go to TonyPerkins.com. We've got some resources up there. I would imagine by now you know exactly what you're going to do when you go into the polling booth. So, but just in case, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. By the way, I'll be on AFR later tonight. I'll be on Fox Business a little bit later this evening on Lou Dobbs and a number of programs tonight. In fact, we'll be giving live updates as news breaks from the FRC headquarters here in Washington, D.C. throughout the evening on Facebook. So if you follow me or FRC Action on Facebook, you'll get notifications that we're going live with some information based on what happens tonight. I mean, everybody's on the edge of their seats, just kind of watching to see what happens, because this thing is close. Your vote could make the difference. By the way, let me just emphasize how people say that these races aren't that close. We've supported a congressional candidate in Arizona. He won by 27 votes. Now, this was in the primary. He's now in the general. He'll win the general. But in the primary, 27 votes made the difference for him. 27 votes. Folks, your vote makes a difference. Well, yesterday I was in Baton Rouge and I joined Senator Ted Cruz for a Get Out the Vote event with Congressman John Fleming, who is running for the U.S. Senate. And now Ted joins me here on Washington Watch. Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch. It was great to see you yesterday.
Tony, my friend, good to see you yesterday. Good to be with you today.
Now, what part of the country might you be in today?
Well, I'm back home in Texas today, so I've spent the past month on the road focusing primarily on trying to hold on to the U.S. Senate. So I've been campaigning in Colorado and Nevada and Missouri and Indiana and Louisiana, trying to hold on to those Senate seats or pick up Senate seats. And then I've also been on the road campaigning with Mike Pence in Iowa and Michigan and working to defeat Hillary Clinton, which you and I both know is incredibly important this election.
Without question, but defeating Hillary is just the first step. You have to have a Senate that a Republican president can work with, and we've seen some shift in the last few weeks in a more positive direction for Republicans. What's your sense right now when it comes to the U.S. Senate?
You know, I think the Senate is going to be very, very close. It is hanging in the balance. There are probably seven or eight Senate races across the country that are within a couple of points, and at this point, it all depends on turnout. You know, we're getting now to the afternoon and evening. This is when Republicans tend to vote, is after work. A lot of Republicans work during the day and then come vote tonight. And so to people who are listening, I would say if you haven't voted, please come out and vote tonight and pick up the phone and call your friends and families, because these Senate races are likely to be decided by one or two points. If turnout goes one way, we could win across the board. But if it goes the other way, we could lose all of them and end up handing the Senate over to Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, which would be profoundly harmful for the effort to protect our rights and protect our values.
You and I both know that Harry Reid was devious in the way he did things in the Senate, but I tell you what, he doesn't hold a candle to Chuck Schumer. I cannot think of someone who would be more diametrically opposed to the values that you and I have fought for and stand for than Chuck Schumer.
Well, Chuck Schumer is a rabid ideologue. He is a hardcore liberal Democrat. He has been Harry Reid's right hand for a number of years, helping enforce Harry Reid's efforts to jam through the liberal Obama-Clinton agenda. And if Chuck Schumer is majority leader, you can be certain that the United States Senate will become effectively a rubber stamp for every left-wing nominee that a President Hillary Clinton might put forward. The Senate would become a rubber stamp for every left-wing judicial nominee that might be put forward. And I think it is critically important that we have a Republican Senate to check the president, whether that president is, God forbid, Hillary Clinton, and I hope and pray that it is not, or even if it's a Republican president, the Senate has a constitutional responsibility to be a check and balance on the president, whether Republican or Democratic. And all of that depends on turnout today, coming out and voting to keep the Senate Republican.
This was before you arrived in D.C., but I'm sure you probably was tracking these back when George Bush was president and his judicial nominees, Judge Pryor, who he had nominated for, I believe, an appellate court. And at the time, Chuck Schumer, I believe, was on the Judiciary Committee, and he vehemently opposed Pryor based upon his, quote, deeply held personal beliefs. And the issue was he was Catholic and he believed in pro-life views. And that was enough to send Chuck Schumer off in block a vote, up or down vote, on President Bush's nominee. So that's the kind of stuff we would be looking for if Chuck Schumer is the majority leader of the Senate.
That is exactly right. Chuck Schumer is an ultra-liberal. He is a rabid ideologue. He's a partisan. And he will be focusing on continuing the damage that has been done the last 8 years under Barack Obama, on expanding that damage, on doing everything that he can to expand the size of federal government, expand government spending, expand taxes, expand the regulations that are destroying small businesses and jobs. And a majority leader, Chuck Schumer, it is difficult to think of a leader in government more passionately opposed to protecting the constitutional rights of American citizens. Chuck Schumer and a Democratic Senate would become the tip of the spear for restricting your and my religious liberty, for restricting your and my free speech, for restricting your and my right to keep and bear arms. And that's one of the many reasons why I think it is so important to keep a Republican Senate.
130 million people expected to vote today. 46 million, roughly, of those Americans voted in advance. And as you mentioned, Republicans tend to vote in the afternoons because most of them have jobs and they work. And so as they are, you know, some of them tired, long days, I just want to give you a chance to talk about some of these key states where we're talking about, like Missouri, Nevada, where their vote could make a difference in the outcome of that Senate race. What states have you been in that you think it's critical that folks make sure they turn out to vote no matter how tired they might be at the end of the day?
Well, those are both states you mentioned that I've been in the last couple of weeks. Missouri, we've got Senator Roy Blunt, who is incumbent Republican, who is in a very, very tight race. It is neck and neck, and turnout matters enormously in Missouri. He's got a very liberal Democrat competing on the other side. Nevada is actually one of the few pickup opportunities we've got in the country. This is Harry Reid's seat, and he's retiring. He's not running again. We've got Congressman Joe Heck as the Republican nominee. He is a medical doctor. He is a brigadier general in the Army Reserves. He is running campaigning hard, but Nevada has been a purple state. It's a state where turnout makes a big difference. Colorado, Daryl Glenn is another pickup opportunity, an African-American, a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force, a graduate of the Air Force Academy, a strong conservative. Daryl Glenn would stand with Mike Lee and me fighting for conservative principles, and he's running against Democrat Michael Bennett. the press has written that race off, but there have been polls in recent days showing it within a couple of points. You and I were just in Louisiana. Louisiana is another terrific opportunity, not just to keep a Republican senator, but to ensure that we have a strong conservative fighter. Right. Both of us have endorsed John Fleming, who is one of about 20 candidates running in that race. The top two will go to the runoff, and John Fleming is right on the bubble. He may make the runoff, he may not, and it all depends on turnout. If you're in Louisiana and you want a conservative in the Senate, I believe the right choice for you is John Fleming. And then there are races across the country of Republican incumbent senators in purple and blue states, people like Kelly Ayotte in New Hampshire, people like Chuck Grassley in Iowa, people like Pat Toomey in Pennsylvania, people like Ron Johnson in Wisconsin. All of these are close races, people like Richard Burr in North Carolina. These races could come out 1 or 2 points one way or the other. We could win every one of them, or we could lose every one of them and give the power to Chuck Schumer and liberal Democrats who do not share our values and want to undermine our constitutional rights.
And Senator Cruz, I want to just emphasize that you and I are not just saying this, that it's that close. It is that close. I mean, we truly are a divided nation. We heard it yesterday, Hillary Clinton talking about how she wants to unify America, which I had to laugh at. And then Donald Trump saying we're a divided nation. I mean, we are a divided nation. You know, you spent over a year traveling around the country.
Yes.
People are hungry for change. They know we're headed in the wrong direction. This is the first step in changing that direction, is exercising your right and responsibility to vote.
Well, I think an overwhelming majority of Americans want to change the path we're on, that we recognize it isn't working. And listen, one thing that concerns me, you and I both know, that there are some conservatives who are less than happy with the choices at the top of the ticket. I can certainly understand that, and I tried very, very hard to present a different choice at the top of the ticket.
As did I. I was
indeed,
right there with
you. And you and I campaigned together a great deal. But as we sit here on Election Day, we can't change the names that are on the ballot. These are the names on the ballot. And let me say, if you're a conservative, if you're at home, if you're a Christian and you're dismayed, what has our country come to? Listen, I am dismayed by that as well. But the worst option for you to do is to stay home. That if you stay home, if you don't vote on Election Day, then you're surrendering our country to the forces that are tearing it apart. So I ask you, even if you're unhappy with these choices, and that is a sentiment I fully understand, please show up and vote anyway. Your vote matters, and it literally could come down to just a few votes.
Absolutely, without question. Senator Ted Cruz, as always, great to talk with you. Great to be with you yesterday, and look forward to seeing you real soon.
Thank you, Tony. God bless.
All right. Texas Senator Ted Cruz. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. And by the way, folks, Washington Watch and our affiliates, we do not endorse candidates as an entity, nor does FRC. Any endorsements are made on behalf of individuals. Having said that, when we come back, Ken Blackwell, Secretary of State, joins us to give us kind of a rundown how the process works. What happens when those ballots start coming in? How are they counted? How they process? And we're going to get an update from the all-important battleground state of Ohio. Seems like more and more, almost every state's a battleground state, huh? But Ohio is an important one. No Republican has won the presidency in modern time without winning Ohio. He's here next. Don't go away.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to Israel in March, March 9 through the 17th. We'll be going to the land of the Bible, the Holy Land. We'll be seeing so many places every day. The days are just full of things you've read about in the Bible. And one of the things that I enjoy about our trip is wearing people out. And we'll be wearing folks out during our trip of Israel, because I know that when folks pay to go to Israel, they want to see it all, and we'll be seeing it all, including Bethlehem, Jericho, Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, Nazareth, and much, much more. Won't you join us on this special tour of Israel in March? For more information, just call us and we'll send you a brochure at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5. or go on the web at twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
Who says you can't have your cake and eat it too? If you're like a lot of people, you would like to support the culture-changing efforts of the American Family Association. But there's the very pressing reality that your income must meet your current needs as well as act as seed for future income, either for the short term or for life. A charitable gift annuity might be your answer. A charitable gift annuity offers a unique method for both planning ahead for permanent income and supporting the work of the American Family Association. An AFA Foundation representative will walk you through the details of creating a charitable gift annuity, allowing you to decide if a charitable gift annuity is right for your individual financial situation. Connect with us today by calling 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit us online at afafoundation.net.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. Once upon a time, a traveler could go to a website hosting many different quasi-innkeepers around the world offering to rent their spare room to frugal and adventurous customers. This service was called Airbnb, and it was used by renters and rentees from every culture, religion, and nationality. It still is used by every culture and nationality and by every religion except for decided Christians or other belief systems which refuse to affirm homosexuality or any of the letters in the alphabet soup of sex/gender activists. Users of Airbnb are now forced to sign an agreement, whether they're hosting or renting, to not make their renting decisions based on, among other things, gender identity or sexual orientation. This is further evidence of a culture grown ever more hostile to biblical views on sexuality. May God give us grace to stand firm in Him. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. It's Election Day. I hope you have voted. If not, I hope you're on your way to vote. Still got a few hours to vote, depending on what part of the country you're in. So head on to the poll and vote. Your vote could make a difference. We were just talking about with Senator Cruz, a number of states where we've got Senate races on the bubble. And, of course, the presidential race, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Ohio, all critical states, Florida. So make sure you're voting. And by the way, later tonight, we'll be on a FRC action team. We'll be dispersed out across the country doing various election coverage returns. I'll be here in the D.C. headquarters. We'll also be doing periodic Facebook Live broadcasts. So if you follow me on Facebook or FRC Action, you'll get notifications of that. But how does this whole thing work as the states begin to report and process these ballots? How does that all come together, and how can we be certain that our vote is counted? Well, joining me now to talk about that, former Secretary of State of the Buckeye State, the state of Ohio, senior fellow here at the Family Research Council, Ken Blackwell. Ken, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Connie, good to be with you.
Are you back in Ohio?
Yes, I'm in Cincinnati, and we're waiting for the counting of the early ballots to start right at the tick of 7:30.
All right, just kind of walk. I mean, you headed up the as Secretary of State. They're the ones that oversee the elections. You did that in Ohio. You actually did it at a critical election, 2004. It was the focus of the country. Kind of walk our listeners through how this process works. They go to the poll. They vote. What happens then?
Well, with the advent of early voting, security measures have had to be put in place. So in Ohio, you can start to vote early 30 days out. Luckily for us in Ohio, we have a strong bipartisan system that's really managed and administered at the county level, and it's controlled by county boards of elections with two Democrats and two Republicans, and everything is a double key system. So those folks who have voted early over the last 30 days, their ballots have been put in a secure safe and those ballots will be counted first at the strike of 7:30 p.m.
And let me ask you. Let me stop here. Let me stop right there. Just to, from a standpoint of how good of a gauge is the early voting? I mean, when you look at the, those early votes are counted, does that usually establish trends, or could it just be, you know, maybe?
There are bellwether counties and precincts across the state that Associated Press and some of the more sophisticated and pollsters use to give you some indication of how things are going to trend over the evening. Nothing's, you know, 100%.
What in Ohio, what would be the areas that would be the best indicators or bellwethers of Ohio?
Well, they're going to look at, take a gauge of the Democratic turnout versus Republican. They'll look at Cuyahoga County and Cleveland. But in Ohio, to take a measure of how the Republican vote is going to come in, how strong it's going to come in, they would look at southwestern Ohio and the western side of the state to get a real good feel for how strong the Republican ballot trend is in that part of the state where there are actually more Republicans than Democrats. This is still a very good state by which you can take the measure of the heartbeat of the nation, because it's still diverse. Now, people have been critical in this election, saying that demographically we've become older and whiter as compared to some other parts of the country, and therefore there are those who argue that we're no longer a good bellwether state.
But now, that hadn't happened. That hadn't happened to you. You haven't gotten older and whiter, have you?
And the reality is that for Donald Trump, what we've seen in terms of the long lines and the interviews of the folks standing in those lines, let me just tell you who's turning out in Ohio, both in early voting and today, happen to be folks who regularly attend church, who own a gun, who in fact believe that they've been left behind by the raise in taxes, the escalation in debt, and the growth of government has been a direct burden on their individual liberty and their opportunity to work or improve their income status. So those folks are turning out in a nice number, and it is that the intensity of that voting block that behaviorally has voted Democrat as much as it's voted Republican, they're coming out, and every indication is that they're voting Trump this time.
So is that kind of like a new generation of Reagan Democrats?
Absolutely, Tony. That's exactly, you know, back in the 80s, we would have called them the Reagan Democrats. In Ohio, you know, it's the coal miners, the steel workers, the blue-collar Catholics, and it's just been interesting to see just what has happened in not just the evangelical community, but because the evangelical community has been more Republican than Democrat. It's been fascinating to watch what's happening with the Catholic vote in Ohio, and I've tried to stay concentrated on in Ohio and a couple other states, North Carolina included, this go around, not to disperse and spread too thin my energies and focus. So Ohio, the Catholic vote has joined the evangelical vote because they understand that the Supreme Court is in jeopardy, and therefore the only way to stop the advance against religious liberty and the pro-life ethic of the country is to make sure that we don't let Hillary Clinton pack the Supreme Court with judicial action.
All right, Ken, we're up against the break. Very quickly, you have a prediction of which way Ohio goes?
Ohio's going to go Trump by at least 3 to 4 points.
Really? Wow. All right, I'm going to Maybe I should put a steak dinner on. Let's see. I hope you're right, though. I hope you're right. All right, folks. Ken, thanks so much for being with us.
All right, Tony. Good
to hey, folks, still to come, Michelle Bachman's going to join us. We're going to be taking your phone calls as well. So don't go away. There's more Washington Watch right on the other side of this message.
Making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
So pre-election, we saw the markets up dramatically. They called it the Hillary Clinton surge, and there certainly was a surge. We saw all the indices up well over 2%. Amazing, 371 points on the Dow. Then the day of the election, of course, today we see things pretty much break even. A lot of profit taking going on in the middle of the day. So a lot of that, so we saw negative activity. But right now, apparently, they still think this could be a Hillary Clinton win. So here's the question. If all of this is happening on the upside based on Clinton winning, what's going to happen if she loses? What's it going to look like if she loses? Is it going to be a bloodbath in the markets? Well, it sure would seem that way based on what we're seeing before this election is decided. Now, I think the markets are going to go down significantly, at least in the beginning, if Donald Trump wins, because there is this great desire on Wall Street to fulfill the prophecy that they've laid out there. But they will soon come to their senses and realize that this could be an opportunity of a lifetime as far as buying goes. And Donald Trump is just the person to turn around this hurting market or hurting economy. We'll know in a few days.
Experience Dan Celia in person. Find a faith, family, and finance town hall meeting or seminar near you at afafoundation.net.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Tony Perkins here on Election Day. Going to throw you a little curveball. I'm going to open up the phone lines, 866-372-7234, and here's what I want to hear. Did you vote today? If so, what were your observations? Strong turnout? Light turnout? What'd you see? Excitement? Enthusiasm? Let me know. I'd like to hear. Share with the rest of the Washington Watch audience your observations today as you voted. By the way, Washington Watch and our related affiliates do not support or oppose candidates for president or any office. Any endorsements made are strictly in personal capacity and do not represent the Washington Watch Network. I voted this morning. We actually had a prayer chain at our church, 24-hour actually 26 hours in case we missed one. Going into the election, we'll go through 9 o'clock tonight. Fortunately, my son traded with me. I had 1 o'clock in the morning, and he traded and gave me 5 o'clock. So I went at 5, then went and voted at 6 when the polls opened. And I had to park about a quarter of a mile away and walk. I have never seen that many people turn out to vote at my polling place, which I've been going to for close to 20 years. So I was encouraged. I was very encouraged. And the line was pretty long, and it was kind of drizzling. And people were there. They were committed. They were committed to voting. All right. Also, coming up tonight, we're going to be doing some updates as things come in on Facebook. So if you follow me or FRC Action on Facebook, you'll get notifications. Also, we'll be doing a plethora of media through the FRC team and various outlets and venues. So hope to see you tonight as you tune in. All right, let's get a few observations here before we before we hear from Michelle Bachman coming up in just a little bit. Let's go to Alabama where Becky is on the line. Becky, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you.
So you voted today?
Yes, I did.
What'd you see?
Well, it was pretty busy, but there wasn't a line or anything. And when I put my ballot in, it said 256. And I told the lady that was there, I said, oh, I am so upset. Nobody's here. And she said, Becky, for a little bitty town, this is great. She said, this is a lot. I was like, okay.
Well,
so it was good. Busy, but
that's good.
You know, wasn't a lot.
What time did you vote?
I voted about 10 o'clock.
Okay, well, that's actually a good time because the morning crowds have kind of died down. People vote on their way to work, and then there'll be a big crush here in the evening as people are coming home from work as well. Becky, thanks so much for calling, and thank you for voting and exercising your right and responsibility. Let's go to Mississippi, where Velissa is on the line. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much for taking my call. Yes, I voted today. It was after 7 o'clock this morning before 7:30.
And what'd you see?
It was, well, we live in a small community, so there was, like, very few people over there. But I was encouraged because I belong to a small organization, nonprofit. So I took the platform with me, and I handed it out to the group and just told them to, before they vote, to read over the platform.
Oh, great. Great. That's what we need to do in terms of influencing others, encouraging others, and giving them information. Velissa, thanks so much for calling and for exercising your right and responsibility as a citizen. Let's go to Tennessee, where Shirley is on the line. Shirley, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thank you. It's good to speak with you. I want to tell you, I voted early, and my friends have voted today, and the lines are long in my little bitty town that people are voting. And, of course, my heart and my vote went for Trump because we need an economy, and Hillary can't do it and won't do it. So she's had 30 years, hadn't gotten it done, so we're looking for new. We want change, and this time we're getting a real change, and I'm an African-American saying it and proud to say it, that I voted for change. No. And Donald Trump won an award for the things he's done for African-Americans, too, in 2010, in case folks, people aren't getting that message. But he got my vote, and I'm proud to say it.
All right, Shirley, thanks so much for calling and for exercising your right and responsibility. Shirley says she wants change, real change, not that counterfeit change. What's the real thing? All right, let's go to Missouri. Important state there. Senate race up, and Raquel is on the line. Raquel, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go right ahead. Did you vote today?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I voted about 1:30. I took my lunch break and went and voted. I was in and out in like 10 minutes. I have to tell you that I work for the second largest employer in Missouri, which is a healthcare system, where there's a lot of liberal thinking. And so I am not paying attention to I'm not listening to the news today because I've been convinced Trump is going to win from the get-go. But there were some very unhappy liberal people who already voted. I think they're scared.
Well, that should make you feel good.
It makes me feel really good. I bet.
If they're concerned, you got to feel good.
I do. I really do. This one particular lady, she's very vocal in her beliefs. She's actually a lesbian. I love her to death. And she's very vocal, made sure everybody knew she voted. And I just was listening to her. She was just not happy about, you know, what's going on with the health care and everything, and was trying to get people to go out and vote so we can win. So she's shaking in her shoes a bit.
Well, we'll see what happens tomorrow. Raquel, thanks for calling. Appreciate you participating in the process, exercising your right and responsibility to vote. All right, folks, up against a break. When we come back, Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann's going to join us. She's been on the Values Bus in North Carolina, the FRC Action Values Bus. She took my seat and been rallying the folks there in North Carolina. She's going to join us on the other side of the break, and then we'll continue with some phone calls. So don't go away. We're back with more Washington Watch after this.
One of the great freedoms that most Americans enjoy is the ability to get involved in political campaigns. But what about pastors? Unfortunately, due to a little-known amendment that was passed in 1954 at President Lyndon Johnson's urging, churches and other nonprofit organizations are prohibited from making statements for or against a candidate for public office if they want to remain tax-exempt. This is just one of the many problems with the Johnson Amendment. Not only does fear of IRS action put a chill on the free speech of pastors, It restrains other nonprofit organizations from participating in the debate of public policy in their area of expertise. In addition, the IRS only rarely enforces the Johnson Amendment, causing widespread confusion about what constitutes lawful political speech and what doesn't. For more information on how to amend the Johnson Amendment, visit frc.org/Johnson Amendment. That's frc.org/Johnson Amendment.
Introducing the colorful new AFA Christmas wristbands. They serve as cheerful reminders of what Christmas is all about. Get a wristband free when you visit afa.net/Christmas. And remember, when you request your free bracelet and order more, you're keeping the American Family Association in the battle to restore Christian values in America. They come in packs of 10, so order several. Stop by afa.net/Christmas today.
Consider serving the Lord with friendships. It's an opportunity to reach out to the needy around the world. They're now taking applications to volunteer, and they need help in the areas of mechanics, maritime, including deck, engine, and steward departments, food service, warehousing, and office. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
I'm Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch. It's election day, and have you voted? All right. If not, there's still time. Head to the polls and vote. Your vote could make the difference. It absolutely could. By the way, tune in tonight on Facebook. We'll be giving some updates. I'll be on Lou Dobbs on Fox Business next hour, and a variety of media opportunities tonight, so stay tuned. For more, if you're on Twitter, at T. Perkins will be giving updates on Twitter as well. All right, we get an opportunity to talk to some of my favorite folks. We had Senator Ted Cruz on earlier, and now joined by one of my favorite people, and she is such a warrior. I mean, stands firm, unyielding. I mean, I just put it this way. If I were in a fist fight, she'd be the one I'd want with me. I mean, she's just a tough lady. And she took my seat on the values bus. She's been going across North Carolina, helping rally conservatives to get to the polls and vote. And she just hopped on a plane to fly to Texas for some media tonight. And she joins us now, former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. Michelle, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. It's always a privilege to be with you. Thank you for being on air on this important day.
Well, what was how was your experience there on the values bus in North Carolina?
It was fantastic. The bus is a great bus, and North Carolina is filled with nothing but sweet people. And we were making stops to do rallies. We current members of Congress, former members of Congress came out, local officials, families, kids came out. And people were happy today. They were happy. We also went over to voting polling stations, and we handed out basic literature to show what the two-party platforms stand for and where the presidential candidates are on each of the issues. And we could feel that North Carolina is the epicenter of dealing with a lot of the Human Rights Council issues. You could just feel it, the tension that was there. But the people that were coming out, they knew why they were voting. They knew what they were voting for. And we also began the day, Tony, with Generation Joshua. And that was a whole passel of young people. There's Generation Joshua groups all across the United States, and they've spent the last 3 days going door to door, dropping literature and making phone calls, and they literally are the key in so many pivotal races to getting people out to vote for our values in the voting booth. So I'm really proud of those young kids. And if anyone is listening who has young kids, it's one of the most fantastic experiences. And I encourage you, have your child join Generation Joshua in an upcoming election. It'll be a great experience for them, but they'll also be a part of making history.
Absolutely. You're listening to Washington Watch, Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, my guest. Folks, hang on the line. I know our phone lines are full. We're going to go back to the phones in just a bit. Michelle, I know you've been all over the country in the last few days because you and I have been texting and calling back and forth. And I know you were you had a big rally Sunday in Minnesota.
We had 17,000.
And that was at a very, very short notice, wasn't it?
Is that the drop of a hat? People didn't find out in Minnesota until late Saturday afternoon. That's when it was reported that Mr. Trump was coming on Sunday right after church, and there were 17,000 people who, bam, signed up to come, and they came. The highway was completely at a standstill for people trying to get in. 5,000 were allowed into the hangar. That's all that they could get in. But people held on to the chain link fence, and they set up loudspeakers so they could clearly hear Mr. Trump when he gave his speech. But all they really wanted to be able to do is see the beautiful Trump plane land. And the roar that went up, Tony, was like nothing I've ever heard before. And I've been in these events with George W. Bush, George H.W. Bush, with Mitt Romney, John McCain. I've been in many of these. There was nothing like the sound of people who were greeting Donald Trump, because you could just tell people know the country is going in the wrong direction. And they're looking at Donald Trump and they're saying, finally, someone is saying what needs to be said. And he did, and people are very excited. I think we're going to see a strong turnout today. And for those who haven't turned out yet to vote, please, please do. They're saying that many of these tight elections will be decided this evening. Just know how important your vote is and how your vote counts. And, Tony, can I tell them about a Minnesota story that we have where a vote counted?
Absolutely.
Well, in our state of Minnesota, we had an election at the U.S. Senate level. We had a Republican senator, and another challenger was coming up, Al Franken. Al Franken, who was a Democrat, challenged our Republican senator. And the bottom line is this. That race was decided by 312 votes. I'm not kidding. Millions of votes cast, and it came down to 312 votes. So if it's raining out, or if you're running late, or if your kids have something to do, I'm just begging you, please, go to the polls and cast your vote for your godly values. Literally, can you imagine how you would feel if you, in your state it was decided by 312 votes who the next president of the United States will be? Because Al Franken was literally the 60th Democrat vote for Barack Obama so he could pass Obamacare. That changed America when that election happened. So we need your vote, and trust me, every single vote counts.
Absolutely, without question, very, very, very close. Michelle, you're going to be doing some media tonight. Where are you going to be tonight?
I am. I'm in Dallas, Texas, right now. I've landed, and I will be doing some Skype broadcasts. But I'll also be with Kenneth Copeland, north of Fort Worth, Texas, and we'll be doing some election night broadcasting. And I'll also be broadcasting with Western Journalism and the Conservative Tribune. So I'm looking forward to doing that.
All right. I think I may be joining you later tonight on Kenneth Copeland saying late tonight, I think, after the returns all come in.
I heard that. So I'm really excited to be on the same show with you this evening.
All right. Michelle, thanks so much for joining us, and thanks for taking up residence there on the values bus for a while. I appreciated you being there and
anytime.
Helping our team.
What a privilege to do that. All the sweet, beautiful people. Vote, vote, vote. If Christians will decide this election one way or another, either by sitting home or going, and it's not holy to sit home and look the other way. We need to vote.
All right, Michelle, thanks so much. Good to talk with you.
Thank you. Bye-bye, brother.
Former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, great lady. Great lady. All right. 866-372-7234. Did you vote? What'd you see if you did vote? By the way, I'm going to go back to, she mentioned about Minnesota, that Senate race being decided by 340 votes. I was involved in a Senate race 20 years ago. Absolutely, it was 20 years ago exactly, that in Louisiana, open seat, lost to the Democrats by 1,500 votes. Of course, there was widespread voter fraud, but that didn't matter, 1,500 votes. And that seat was held for up until 2 years ago, up until a year ago by Democrats. So, folks, your vote can make a difference. By the way, the values bus is still in North Carolina. It'll be wrapping up tomorrow. 17,000 miles that it has traveled to over 20 states, taking the values message and encouraging voters to vote. Vote their values. All right, let's go to, let's see, where are we going? We're going to go to Alabama where Dave is on the line. Dave, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, Tony. It's good to hear you all. I'm so happy you're in Birmingham now.
I'm glad to be there as well. It's a good part of the Bible Belt to be in.
Well, I got up this morning very early. I got to the polls about 40 minutes before they opened. I was about the 50th person in line, and they let us in starting about quarter till 7. Our polls opened at 7. We couldn't actually place our votes until 7 o'clock when the polls opened, but they let us come on in and get registered and everything. But there was, when I walked out, there was a line even longer than when I walked in. It was very impressive. I've never seen that many cars in that polling location.
Was there a sense of, you hear conversation, sense of excitement? What was kind of the atmosphere?
Well, most of us were talking Alabama football, to be honest with you.
But we don't want to go there, okay? We don't want to go there.
But you have to remember that this is a very Republican area, and so most everybody in there, we're all kind of the same mind. So there's not a lot of debate or that sort of thing going
on.
I think everybody was very reserved though, because we've been here before, the last two with Obama.
Yeah.
We all felt like, well, we've got a purpose here. We don't know if it's going to be good or not, but the point is that at least we're exercising our right.
Well, and that's absolutely right, Dave. And what is encouraging to me is I had the very almost identical experience in Pride, Louisiana, which is where my home is, this morning before I flew up to D.C. And long line, never seen it before. But you would think in a very very conservative area. Now, not necessarily all Republican, but very conservative. In fact, I was the first Republican actually elected in that area in the state legislature. But it's conservative ideologically. But what is encouraging about that, Dave, in these areas that are predominantly conservative and so that the local elections are going to have conservatives going to be elected, is that conservatives haven't given up. They see this as an opportunity to take America back, to use their vote to influence, and that is encouraging. Because when you lose hope and you give up, you become discouraged and you throw in the towel, that's when we're in serious trouble. So it is encouraging to see people responding and voting and being involved. Dave, thanks so much for listening. Glad we are in Birmingham. All right, let's go to Oklahoma, where Rebecca is on the line. Rebecca, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thank you.
So you voted today?
Well, I did vote today, and I am a teacher. I'm here in Oklahoma in Del City, and we have a voting poll inside our school. The school that I'm at is a fairly impoverished area and had a large turnout. When I got to school this morning at 8:15, cars were lined up everywhere. It was amazing. There was a line. Our voting polls were in the gym. The ballot boxes were in the gym. And they were in the gym and down the hallways and through the entry door and all the way down the sidewalk. It was amazing. And it was that way all day long.
Really? Well, it's encouraging. And, whether someone's going to be voting the same way I am or not, I take heart when people are involved in the process legally. When people are engaging in the process, one man, one vote, exercising that vote, being involved in the process, that's how it works. I mean, that's what makes this government of the people, for the people, and by the people work, is when we participate. Rebecca, thanks so much for joining us and listening and giving us your observations from today. Let's go to Nebraska, where Pacey is on the line. Pacey, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful, thanks. I voted today about 10:30 this morning, and I'm very proud to say that I voted for Hillary Clinton. And when I went in, it wasn't very busy at all. There wasn't very many people, and they didn't seem too enthused to be in there voting. And I don't know why, but I mean, I was very excited. It's my first time ever voting, and it was pretty great.
Now, what area is that in?
I am in Norfolk. I am a town of about 25,000 people, and it's awesome. You know, it's kind of a small place, you know, but I love it. It's my hometown.
Mm-hmm. And so there wasn't a lot of activity, you said, when you were in there about 10:30?
Yeah, I was in there about 10:30 this morning, and there wasn't very many people. I mean, I'd say there's probably maybe 8 people in there all together with me.
Now, did you get a sense from the polling observers, the watchers, as to the turnout thus far when you were there?
No, not really. I mean, I had kind of talked to an older gentleman, and he said that there hadn't been many people in yet this morning, but hopefully there would be this evening.
Yeah, okay. Well, 10:30 is kind of mid-morning. As you said, a lot of folks may come in this afternoon. So, Pacey, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate you listening to Washington Watch. All right, we're going to go out to California, where Brenda is on the line. Brenda, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Mr. Perkins.
How are you today?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm well, thank you. And so you voted today?
Yes, I did. I actually got to my polling place at 7:23 a.m., and I'm in Fresno, California. And the Central Valley has about 1 million people, and the polling place actually was pretty packed, the most I've ever seen, and I've been going there probably for about 10 years now.
That's interesting.
There was a lot of enthusiasm, and everyone seemed pretty determined, but I did vote for Trump, and proudly I am Mexican-American, and I'm actually first-generation Mexican-American, so despite what the media says, I know quite a few other people that also are voting for Trump.
And so what was the atmosphere there? Was there a sense of excitement, anticipation as people were voting?
Definitely. I really felt everyone was just determined. You know, we were just determined for change.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely felt that in the air.
Well, I tell you what, I have to commend you, Brenda, because being in California, where it's just so predominantly liberal in its orientation, to keep up that fighting, optimistic spirit, well, you know what? That's what made America, and that's what's going to restore America if America is going to come back to her greatness again. Brenda, thanks so much for listening and calling and for exercising your right and responsibility as an American. Well, folks, the time for the program has come to a close, but the polls are still open. If you've not yet voted, please do so. Exercise your right and responsibility. All right, remember, we'll be on Facebook, doing some Facebook Live tonight with some of the results as they come in. We'll be on various news outlets. I'll be on Fox Business with Lou Dobbs in the next hour. Tune in. Also, if you're on Twitter, @TPerkins, you can keep up with our thoughts on the returns. All right, folks, great to be with you. Until next time, I leave you with the words of the Apostle Paul, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.